97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. Well, I caught the time caught me a little bit there. I'm out there still preparing. Well, here we are on a football Thursday on the Mike Missanelli Show, and we're going to sink our teeth into some Eagles business here as they open the season on Sunday. Everybody is excited that the season is actually going to open tonight. So we actually have football in front of us. There's been some quality sports on TV. I got to be honest with you. That if you watched the NBA last night, amazing Toronto-Boston series. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about what I saw last night in that game that the Sixers do not have, my friends. If you're watching that game, you saw that right away. We'll get into that. Those teams that played last night have some heart, have some killer instinct, have some competitiveness, some drive, some desire. I was wishing that I was a fan of one of those teams. I got to be honest with you. Especially the Raptors, the way they're clawing back with Kyle Lowry. Anyway, I digress. Football issues. I don't really want to make a big deal about this because in the overall scope of things, it doesn't matter as far as what the Eagles are on the field. But it is kind of interesting that this Jason Peters thing has evolved the way it's evolved. Now, let's just track it here, okay? They sign on to play right guard because Brandon Brooks goes down. At the time, it was probably their best option. So they get him in there. They pay him guard money. All of a sudden, the number one draft pick that they ticketed to play that position at left tackle goes down for the season. So now, the most logical thing to do is either you got to make a trade for a veteran left tackle, and they're not plentiful, or you got to trust one of these guys that you have on your roster that are backup players, none of whom have played left tackle, or you go back to the guy who's played left tackle his whole career. Now, I'm reading social media, and they're ripping Jason Peters. He's not the same player. But no, he's not the same player. Nobody said he was the same player. It was clear. Only one thing was clear. The one thing that was clear is he was your best option. Like it or not, he was your best option there. All right? Yeah. In a perfect world, I'd love to have an all-pro left tackle sit in there instead of some 38-year-old guy. But until you can show me somebody that on paper was better than that 38-year-old guy, then the 38-year-old guy has to have the position. So the Eagles messed around and said, no. After Jason Peters made it clear, okay, you want me to play left tackle? Now you sign me guard money. That's peanuts. At least give me a couple more peanuts to play left tackle. And they refused. Then they had the front man, the head coach, lie for the organization, coming out and saying, no. We it's better for the team not to mess up the continuity and keep Jason Peters at right guard, which is a total lie. So now, here comes lie number two. That the head coach now is the front man because the organization wants him to handle it this way. Let's foster this lie. And that lie is, oh, he got up in the morning and felt terrible. And so he just walked into the front office and he said, I'm so sorry. God, I'll do it for the team. I'll play left tackle. That's what we were supposed to believe. And I bought it for a second. Right, I bought it for a second. It did make me feel good that the Eagles were willing to keep him at right guard, even though they knew he was the best option. But I kind of bought it. I got over it because I'm going, all right, they're at least better off a left tackle. So now we find out, oh, no. He goes to left tackle because they did, in fact, give him the money. Now, are we supposed to be stupid? The one thing that always rankles me is when organizations think their fans are stupid and they're perpetrating some fraud that we're going to believe. It reminds me so much of today's politics, frankly. But like they're preying on our stupidity. And just man up and go, okay, he's got us. I just want to tell the rest of the players, it's not going to be like that for everybody. But this guy, in this kind of circumstance, we kind of have to pay him extra money to play left tackle. We did sign him to play guard. So the right thing to do is we'll compensate him a little bit more because, frankly, he's our best option, right? Now, I don't know, what does it mean over the long haul that your organization plays these little games? I guess it doesn't mean anything. It's just unsettling. right? It's just unsettling that they would take the liberty to play games like this with you and try to pull the wool over your eyes. And so now comes a point in time where you have a lack of trust in what they say. Again, that might not mean anything because you still have to play football. And the wins and losses are on the football field. And I'm not thinking about the front office lying to me if the Eagles win a game. But what does this really mean? How do fans react to something like this, Tyrod?
Some will just brush it off and think it's no big deal. But it's a big deal for this reason. The benefit of the doubt. Unfortunately, it's not always black and white. If you win the Super Bowl, obviously, do whatever you want. The Patriots have, for example, do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers, they've won a lot. Mm-hmm. They can kind of do whatever they want. The Ravens are around in that range. But that's about it. Most teams aren't. And what happens when there is inevitably tough times, bad draft picks, things like that? That's when you lose the fan base a little bit because you abuse them. Like there's something unsettling, but it's also something a little bit disrespectful. When you talk to fans like they're stupid. It's better to say nothing at all about the Jason Peters thing. Say, hey, we don't really have any comments on this right now.
Yeah.
We're going to figure it out. As soon as I have some more information, I'll pass it on to you. Handle it like that. But to lie multiple times to our faces during COVID, when we don't know, like we're not down there, we can't see anything. Like we'd have saw Pryor getting his butt kicked in the preseason. It would have been even worse to when he does that lie.
Yeah.
So I think that's where they're going to lose. If they lose to Washington, this will matter then. It might only matter for a week. You come back week 2, whatever. But it does matter when you lose. Nothing matters when you win. When you win, you can do anything. But when you lose, it matters.
Yeah.
To me, it matters. And I think people will be mad.
I think most people are going to say you're making a big deal out of nothing. I really do. Because, again, there's the inherent mistrust in the media and there's more trust in a team. I think we've learned those lessons over the years, except for a team that really kind of like is not successful and they try to lie to you.
Well, what I don't understand is how that could be the case when it's clear that the organization was going to put their own benefit over the team and over their quarterback. So how are the fans? How are the fans okay with that? And then the way that it played out, because it came out that they were that's what they were going to do.
Because most people don't.
And then they had to eat it.
Yeah, but now is different than back then. Like
right.
If it stayed that way, then maybe there would be a reaction. But right now, people think, well, who cares what the methodology was? You know, they're the team. We're our team. They're our Eagles. We got to worry about the game. I think that's the way most people feel. They don't really care about how this played out.
But what else are they lying about?
And that's what I mean. It's indicative of the way that they're publicly handling themselves.
Well,
with many things, because they're just lying.
Yeah. See, I don't believe anything anybody says in an organization anyway.
Right.
Like, I'm conditioned that way. But this is blatant. Like, I'm conditioned to go, well, like the Cindy Jones thing. And they're going to try to sell you and say, oh, it was a great value. Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't a great value. I used my own eyes. So that lie to me is not going to work with me. It's going to work with a lot of people. Right?
Right, and now look at it.
He did
nothing for this
right.
team.
There's some things that don't make sense blatantly to me. One is Jason Peters staying at right guard because they didn't want to mess up the continuity. Like, that's I laugh at that.
But people bought it.
People did buy it.
And then they have to, but then if you're buying everything, so you bought that, okay?
Uh-huh.
Then you bought that he moved the left tackle out of guilt.
Yep.
And now the money comes. And to me, you got to feel stupid at that point. Because you believe 3 lies or 2 lies and then the truth. If you keep believing everything, it would make me feel dumb. To keep on, see, they want to keep continuity. Well, you're telling your friends in the neighborhood. Mm. Then they move. He goes, see, he's a team guy. He moved. The Eagles were right not to pay him.
Right.
Then you find out they did pay him. And now how do you feel about what you were saying the other day?
It's almost like they had to throw Peters under the bus to do that when it came out anyway that they paid him. Why was he supposed to go to them with his tail between his legs and ask to be moved back when they actually paid him? That's what it seems
it's
like.
It's funny to me, too, as AI would say, right? But here we go. They got the right result. They're going to have to pay him. And I guess it doesn't matter how it got there to most of the fans. So we'll take their pulse on this kind of thing. It's so blatant. Like, they have to be thinking, like, if I do it this way, our fans are going to think that like, this is a blatant con, right? Like, does that cross their mind? Or they're going, well, our fans will suck it up no matter what we do. We can tell them this and they'll buy it. I don't know if Eagle fans do that. I think Flyer fans are more apt to do that than Eagle fans.
Eagles fans.
Philly fans never buy anything.
Eagles fans come off a little Flyerish since the Super Bowl. The lack of urgency the following year. Uh-huh. The Foles thing where they couldn't separate. He became Clarky.
Yeah.
Foles became Clarky 40 years later, where you were still, like, they're still now, even though he's now failed at one spot and lost his job at another spot, he's still Bob Clark in 1975. Yeah. I think that there is now a Flyer-esque lean in Eagles fans now. Yes, because I wanted two Super Bowls. I wanted back-to-back.
Yeah.
Hey, I promised that if they won a Super Bowl, I'd never hold them accountable. Like, I don't live that for real. That's just something you say. You don't live that. You say it, you get the Super Bowl, then you want another Super Bowl. I don't want one.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up nothing. Like, you say it ahead of time, I'll give up anything. And then after you get the one, okay, let's be the Patriots now.
Yeah.
And they're kind of due if they're the Patriots.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll continue. Just some people saw me fiddling with my phone there. The reason why is because I'm pretty sure that there is some subversive activity here. Some computer guys are messing with me because they know that computers and I have had problems in the past. So now it's like every time I come in, I can't log in to my email. And every day it has to be fixed.
Strange.
Isn't it strange?
That's weird.
What do you think is at work here? Like, I come in today, I rush into the studio, I get a log on to my account.
It's not working again.
It's not working. So
it worked on the other end.
It worked over there.
This is this computer. So I have to then email our computer people.
Uh-huh.
And then they fix it. But now it's an everyday occurrence. And are they just messing with me?
Did you log out over at the other spot?
That shouldn't matter. I can log in anywhere.
Yeah, I think I did.
I log out each time. Like, okay. I change computers.
Well, anyway, because people saw me. This guy just sent an email. Come on, man, break down and get an Apple Watch because he saw me, like, doing my phone. But, you know, I got to let the technician people know what's going on here.
That is, you can't log
in. All right, in any event, 610-632-0975. That's how you climb in. Now, this is a Football Thursday. In football, we're going to replay the Hembo Thursdays. Hembo comes with some heavy stats for us to look at for this game. And a little later on the show, we'll talk to the man who covers the Washington football team for the Washington Post. Scott Allen is coming on at 4:30. He'll tell us if this team really has a chance to beat the Eagles in game one. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
He hails from Westchester, and he's a great Eagle fan. Paul Hembikidis, Hembo. What's up, Hembo?
Mike, you missed. I was in the studio in New York yesterday and today for the first time since March. I was that masked man that you saw on the side set doing the trivia and all the rest of it. It was weird. It was fun to be back, but it was different. I've been doing the show for the last few months on my mother-in-law's couch.
Yes, you have. So you're back in the swing now. I like it.
Yeah, man, we're excited. I mean, today felt surreal. To have, like, a legitimate football conversation with a real game happening. Without the build-up, it still doesn't quite feel like it's here. But, I mean, when we're watching that game tonight, with or without fans, I think all of us are going to sort of feel that normalcy again, which we're dying to do.
Yeah, I think this turns the switch on. Like, the switch has kind of been off because no preseason and we were absorbed with the other stuff that was going on. But yes, there is a football season that begins tonight, and for the Eagles, it begins on Sunday against the Washington Football Club. So I've been hearing a lot of hype about Carson Wentz and how ready he is going to be. So in this particular situation, they'd like to throw the ball more. They've kind of beefed up the outside wide receivers, but they still have the two tight end attack.
Yeah, like you missed, I expect a healthy dose of those two tight end looks from the Eagles on Sunday. Last season, Wentz threw a league-high 14 touchdown passes against only three interceptions on those formations. And given the sort of shuffling along the offensive line this summer and the volume of high-quality pass rushers on Washington's roster, I think you'll see Dallas Goedert play a fairly significant role as a pass blocker, as a chipper when he's attached to the line. There's guys have five first-round picks along the defensive line, and you've been talking a lot about the offensive line today. I think the Eagles should at least start the game somewhat conservative before those guys can get their feet beneath them.
All right, now, there's a couple variables here in this first thing we just talked about, and the variables are that one of the tight ends might be having little droopy drawers after the way the Eagles have handled him. So what do you expect here with Zach Ertz? Of course, we're talking about Zach Ertz.
Of course. I can't so much worry about that. Zach Ertz has obviously proven over the course of the last few seasons he is far and away Carson Wentz's number one weapon, and he's also proven that he shares the field very effectively with Goddard. I'm looking at the stats. I'm looking at the numbers. Hopefully he doesn't keep his tail between his legs. And look, he's been as productive as anybody, but no one could argue that he's been better than Kelce or better than Kittle. So, I mean, at best, he's the third best tight end in the NFL.
All right, let's get to what Washington gives us, and we've seen it before, and we've kind of lamented that the Eagles didn't select him, but Terry McLaurin, a 10th wide receivers per route run against off coverage, so the Eagles will have a different way of playing him, I assume, with Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, this, I think, is the matchup to watch here. As a rookie last season, like you said, he ranked 10th among qualified wide receivers in yards per route run against off coverage, but when pressed, he ranked 55th, Mikey Miss, totaling only 216 yards on 153 routes. Now, he caught 10 balls for 255 against the Eagles last season and torched our secondary on those vertical routes. It will be a big test early for Darius Slay. I want to see him be physical early in the game and take McLaurin out of it.
Well, this is probably why Schwartz got Slay, so he can do a couple things. It's going to be a different way that they play these wide receivers this year because of Slay. So that's in the Eagles' favor.
I agree. As you know, better than anybody watching this team, Jim Schwartz loves to play man coverage. He blitzes as infrequently as most defensive coordinators will. But obviously, when you do that, you're putting a lot of pressure on your outside guys. The Eagles were dreadful last year in defending the perimeter of the field. Look, some of the numbers suggest Slay had a down year last year. I think a lot of that did have to do with how just dreadful Detroit was. So I'm going to trust the track record there and not the 2019 tape.
All right. Now, we always go into the gambling area when we look at a game. And Tyrone, is it still 5.5 as we speak?
5.5 and 6. Yep.
5.5, 6. Now, interestingly enough, you have a trivia question for me regarding the spread.
Yeah, this one hits close to home. I think a few of our friends have lost some shekels on the Eagles the last few years. My trivia question is, which coach has lost the most games against the spread over the last two seasons?
See, now when you phrase it that way, it's got to be the answer that we would probably never think of. So I'm going to say Dougie P.
Oh, that's exactly right, my friend. It's our own Doug Peterson. The Eagles are 15-20 against the number during that time, 13-19 in the regular season. But on a positive note, the Eagles have won 6 straight against Washington, going 5-1 against the number in those games. And the only exception is that backdoor cover in week 1 of last season. So the moral of the story here is the Eagles have covered the number really well under Doug Peterson against Washington, but not so well against everybody else. If you put $100 on every game the Eagles have played the last 2 years, you'd be down about $600.
So the stat about Doug, and the trivia question you asked me, is basically irrelevant in this context.
I'd like to think that. And look, we're in week 1 here. I'm all sunshine and rainbows and roses. If the Eagles fail to cover in this game, which, candidly, I don't love the number for the Eagles. I think I'll be resorting back to these bad stats. See you next week.
I don't like the number either because it looks a little short, but it really does. All right, so let's go now. The Power Index, the Pro Football Power Index, ESPN's Power Index, which I think has the Eagles rank, what, 17th right now?
No. The Eagles,
as a team?
ESPN's FPI favors the Eagles a lot more than that. FPI sees the Eagles as number 8 team in the NFL. The Eagles are actually one of 3 teams that have a preseason projection of top 10 on both offense and defense. The other two are San Francisco and Baltimore. Our FPI model views this as a very balanced team, which does favor the Eagles. And FPI loves the Eagles this week a lot more than Vegas does. FPI gives the Eagles a 71% chance to win on Sunday. That equates to an 8-point favorite. Believe it or not, the only team with a better chance to win its week 1 game it's Kansas City. They're playing tonight. They're an 11-point FBI favorite against the Texans. So, like, our model says essentially we like the Eagles much more than the number, but bet the birds. So maybe my gut here is a little bit off.
All right. So is Hembo saying take the birds to cover?
No. No. This is one of the rare cases where I'm not going to trust our numbers because week one is so challenging. And candidly, my concern here is protecting Carson Wentz in week one. This is the one thing I just can't get over. Those guys are going to be able to rush the passer. Jack Del Rio has demonstrated that in every place that he's been. They have guys along that line. I'm just not feeling it. It might take the Eagles a few weeks to sort of get their feet beneath them. I think they'll be able to run block adequately, but I'm hoping for two and a half second type dropbacks. And I want to see a lot of tight ends. Like, I'd love to see the bomb to Deshaun Jackson, like we saw in week one of last season, and a bunch of play action, but not at the expense of chunk losses. Uh-huh. I would favor a more conservative approach in this game, even though that's not what Eagles fans want to hear.
Okay. Last question. As an Eagle fan, because we're surveying Eagle fans here, how did you feel about the drama that eventually, thanks to Lane Johnson's pockets, led to Jason Peters being the starting left tackle after the Eagles had taken you kind of through this this Candyland journey?
Yeah, it was. I mean, from 30,000 feet up here in New York, I thought it was pretty ugly and inappropriate. You don't often, like, the headlines are very bizarre. Like, how often do you see, like, players saying, "No, I'm playing this position and pay me"? Like, you just don't see it. You and I talked a good bit ago about the way the Eagles should handle this with all the injuries. It seemed obvious that as soon as Andre Dillard suffered it, this is the obvious call. Like, the Brandon Brooks injury was one thing. This was the obvious call, and it seemed inevitable that they were going to get here. So it seems a little wishy-washy to me. We haven't talked about it that much, but it's just another reason why I'm a little concerned. Like, the lack of continuity. Like, look, Johnson and Peters and Kelsey, these are all guys that are going to get Hall of Fame consideration. But that doesn't mean they're going to block well this week. It might take the Eagles a little while to get their feet beneath, and that's my biggest concern in this game. And that's also Washington's biggest strength.
All right. Hembo, sounds good. A way to kick off the season here, and we will talk to you next week with the same Hembo stats.
You're a good man. Take it easy.
All right, brother. There he is on the Comcast Business Hotline, the great Hembo.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to the man who covers Washington for the Washington Post. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. His name's Scott Allen. Hello, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me today.
All right. Let's talk about the guy. I was reading your piece, a very interesting piece about why what can happen and why it's preposterous. So where do you stand on how good this team is right now? What do you see when you see this team?
Yeah, I think more than any other year, I mean, for every team looking around the league, you just have no idea. I mean, certainly there's a basement and a ceiling, and with Washington coming off a 3-win season, you figure the ceiling's not very high. But just with no preseason games, so many new faces, the new coaching staff in Washington, I don't have a great read on this team. You mentioned the predictions piece. Every year I do these five preposterously positive predictions. Washington fans need some positivity in recent history because, you know, the predictions around the league for the team aren't so hot. I said in terms of a win total, it would be preposterous if they won nine games. Do I think that's going to happen? No, but I don't think I would be especially surprised by anything in this 2020 season.
All right, let's look at the skill players, first of all, because they've obviously had to alter a lot of things. Peterson gone, Geis gone, and so Jamie McKissick is the starting running back. But the more important thing is, what kind of progress has the quarterback made that you can see?
Yeah, that's going to be the key to the season. So many questions about Dwayne Haskins after last year. He had a up and down season at best. Last year he ended it on a high note. But I think he's came into training camp this year, slimmed down, a more mature, confident quarterback. He was named a captain, which he set out to be. That was his goal, coming into training camp. He's drawn rave reviews from the coaches. I mean, his accuracy still leaves something to be desired, so far, but I think, you know, in year two, I think there's potential there for him to make a big jump. You look at the weapons around him, and the biggest returning threat is his former college teammate, wide receiver Terry McLaurin, who had a huge rookie year. But beyond that, I mean, you mentioned the running back position. Who knows who's going to emerge as the leader of that group? J.D. McKissic, number one on the depth chart. Ron Rivera said not to read too much into that. I think besides Haskins, another key to whether this offense is able to improve is their third round pick, Antonio Gibson, this wide receiver running back hybrid that the coaching staff just absolutely loves.
All right, so it's one of those guys. There's always, every year there's this fantasy football bargain. The guy, yeah. Somebody comes out of nowhere. Can either of those two guys be that?
I think Gibson could be. I mean, I've done several drafts, and not just with among people who follow the Washington football team. And yeah, he's one of those guys who's gotten a lot of hype because they released Geis, because they released Peterson. You know, I've seen him go as high as like the fifth round, which maybe seems crazy. But somebody's got to get the touches in that offense. And you've got the coaching staff in Rivera and offensive coordinator Scott Turner coming over from Carolina. You know, one of the reasons they released Peterson is they value a versatile back who's going to be able to catch the ball just as well as he is to run it. And Gibson, he primarily played wide receiver in college at Memphis, so you know he has good hands. He only had 33 carries in college, but averaged 12 yards per carry on those runs. So he's an explosive player. If he is able to adjust, that's a huge if. Again, no preseason games, we don't know. But yeah, I think if he has a big week one, that could springboard him to a guy that the coaches trust. And certainly, if talking fantasy in PPR leagues, I think he's got huge upside.
This quarterback thing is really interesting to me because Haskins obviously is the chosen one. They'd like him to handle position. Right. But they did bring in Kyle Allen, and there's still this amazing story with Alex Smith. Let's go six games into the season. Who's the quarterback?
I think it'll be Haskins. I think if he struggles, my sense is that they would go to Kyle Allen. I think with the crazy situation of with the pandemic and training camp not what it usually is and the late start and everything, I think it was important that they brought in a guy who knew the offense, was familiar with both Ron Rivera and Scott Turner. So I think, you know, even though Alex Smith has been cleared to play, I think if Haskins struggles or gets hurt, Allen will be next in line. But I think he's going to have somewhat of a long leash here, and I would expect six games in Haskins to still be the starter.
All right, let's look at the team overall. I want to get to the defense in a second because this seems to be a matchup maybe that Washington has an edge on here. But there's so much tumult with this team, right? The new coach coming in, he gets to put his new system in, the mascot controversy, the sexual harassment thing. I mean, how has all this affected the football side of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at Ron Rivera and he already had an enormous task ahead of him coming in here, you know, hired in early January. And then he couldn't focus at all really on football because not only did you have all this stuff going on, but former team president Bruce Allen was out. And it wasn't until August that they brought in his replacement. So you had Ron Rivera not only trying to, you know, coach up these guys, meet all his players, do these Zoom calls during a pandemic, but you had him as the face of the franchise, the guy answering all these questions about everything else going on. You mentioned the retiring the nickname and social justice initiatives and such. So I think now that finally they got into training camp, they have a team president who's going to handle all those other issues. Ron Rivera's been able to concentrate on football. I mean, he's done, an admirable job given everything that he had to deal with. From the football side, I guess we'll see, starting Sunday, just what he has to work with. Obviously, I think he knew coming here that this was a work in progress, the defense much farther along than the offense. And I think it'll work in his favor that the expectations are so low for this team this year.
We're talking to Scott Allen. He covers the Washington Football Club for the Washington Post. Scott, Chase Young, Sweat, very young, active defensive ends, good defensive front. Brian Kerrigan, I guess, is in a rotation now against the Eagles' offensive line, which is real questionable right now. Lane Johnson, we still don't know about. You got a different, rookie playing right guard. They had the Jason Peters thing that carried on, and then finally they just throw him at left tackle. Not many reps there. So is that a major edge in this game for Washington?
I would think so, and I think that's going to be the case kind of week in and week out. And, you know, if this team is going to be competitive this season at all, if they're going to improve on their three wins and not be picking one or two again in next year's draft, it's going to be because of that defensive line that they've invested so much in over the past few years with first-round picks. I mean, you mentioned Sweat and Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, the unheralded Matt Ioannidis, Ryan Kerrigan. It's ridiculous the rotation that they have. But the defense, I mean, they struggled last year when the defensive line wasn't able to get pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, the secondary is a little bit improved this year. They've got a decent linebacking core. But if that heralded group doesn't generate pressure, it's going to be a long afternoon for the defense. And by the same token, I mean, the offense is not going to carry the team. So I think, the biggest positive, and I think one of the things Ron Rivera loved about the roster that he inherited is that defensive line, which could be one of the best in football. But they got to show up, and we don't know what to expect from Chase Young just yet.
Yeah, what are you seeing? What are they saying about him?
Well, I mean, it's the most hyped rookie here since RG3 in 2012, and if he does anything like what RG3 was able to do, obviously on the defensive side of the ball, that'll be a big plus. I think, you know, there are people, I put in my preposterous predictions that he'll make a run at Javon Kearse's rookie sack record of 14.5. I think that's a little bit of a reach, but I think double digit sacks is certainly a legitimate chance at that. I think one thing kind of, you know, a lot of people say like all these great players around him on the defensive line will kind of free him up to get to the quarterback. I think by the same token, you've got a lot of guys who are already, Montez Sweat with 7 sacks last year, already getting to the quarterback. He's going to have to share a lot of those sacks with those guys, which might keep his sack total down. But I think he will be a difference maker from the start, and kind of like Nick Bosa last year with the 49ers, really elevate that defense.
All right, here's the golden question. Who wins this game Sunday?
I think the Eagles do. I think, you know, what, 6 points right now is the line.
Yep.
I think they cover. I do think it'll be somewhat of a shootout, like when these two teams met toward the end of last season. But I think the Eagles win by about a touchdown and do cover.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Good. Great stuff, Scott. Thanks for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Anytime.
All right. Scott Allen, Washington Post on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.